You moved in straight into the business world. Was it one of those things you ever regretted not playing the Lions the next year? And you've been part of Goodman for now 15 or 16 years. How have you found the transition? Was it easier you had a job straight away? Or has it been tough from the point of view that you've had such ridiculous highs to try and replicate that in life? It's really difficult when you go into the work.
Yeah, look, I think the fact is I was stage managing. It was the most important thing. It wasn't, decisions weren't made for me. All those decisions I made myself. So it did take a while to put the rugby aside and go into work. But I mean, I finished, came back after the Tri Nations on a Monday, fourth child born on the Tuesday, and started full-time work in a suit the following Monday. But it was, as I said, it's all about managing what I want to do. And you know, Lions was up, yeah, it would have been nice, but as I said, mate, part of some amazing victories and some stuff with the Wallabies that we'd done in the previous year. So I was very, very happy with that. And the fact it was the right time to go and I had the right opportunity to go. So, mate, that window wasn't going to be open forever, so I managed to jump into it.
Well, the thing is now with Rupa, do they have a bit of a connection with you guys and do they sort of get it as far as players transition? Because we have a fantastic thing in these services such as the Black Dog Institute. We have kids now that have idiotic expectations. They're going to walk into the Wallabies at 18 and all that sort of stuff and all the heat and pressure that comes with it. And you look at it in two ways. It's fantastic the Wallabies and the Waratahs are so well known that they get the sort of flack they do when they don't perform. But also that can lead to things such as depression and also suicidal stuff, which is just absolutely dreadful because of that idiotic expectation.
It is. Look, it's about exactly that, managing expectations. So I think people got to be realistic, number one, in what they're trying to achieve and how they're going to go about it. But again, I think it's important to, as I said, manage those expectations and work with people because, as I said, at the end of the day, I think it's good to be aspirational. But as you said, it's also important to make sure there's a realistic track that you're going to be following, a realistic pathway you're going to be following as well.
Of course, there's great debate on the state of the game. Everybody wants to shed Billy J. Pulver, all this sort of stuff that he wants to be showing the door. But how do you see the game and how do you see something like the Bill Cork Cup? And how can we look after not only club rugby in Sydney and Brisbane, but also Hanson in Melbourne and also Perth? Because they've got super rugby teams. We'll see with the rising, they've got half a dozen kids in there that are Victorian kids under the age of 21. And they need a pathway. Or do we just throw the Western Force and the Rebels out?
Maybe not the Rebels, but I think at the end of the day, you've got to put, I mean, look, it's about money and it's about participation and getting as many bums on seats, both in playing rugby, but also watching rugby, which then funnels more money into the game and it becomes basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think the important thing is you've got to play to your strengths. We're still learning, mate. We're the fourth most popular sport in winter, so we're still way, way, way behind the eight ball. So, mate, we've got to make sure, I think, we build the game where we're going to get most traction. And if that means, you know, dare I say, having a look at what you do with the Force and putting that money into Western New South Wales or Western Queensland, the second side in Sydney, again, it's going to get you very, very good bang for your buck. So all those things have to be looked at because at the end of the day, mate, the results we're getting at the moment, no one could be pleased with, so something's got to change and that's the most important thing.
But there might be an argument there after the test tonight. The Wallabies beat the Springboks and the All Blacks are so far in front of everybody and they have a fantastic setup there with their Mitre 10 Cup, which just keeps producing great players and incredible sport, let alone rugby. And that's something we've got to try and push, not only with club rugby, but also, of course, the Bill Cork Cup.
Yeah, 100%. You do need that second tier. I mean, there's the Curry Cup and there's the NPC in New Zealand. You definitely need to have as many guys as you can getting on a stage above that level between first grade rugby and playing Super 15. You get them exposed. They're playing against good players. They're playing with good players. And that's what's going to bring them on. You just can't bring someone, jag someone out. It might happen in the old days. But I think if you're going to have a consistent number of players backfilling positions and good quality people coming on and the talent identification as well, you need to have that stage. And that second tier competition in the NRC is super, super important in my view.
Well, thank you, Richard, for your time. Of course, Richard's the king of the Silver Foxes, and hopefully we can see him more times because they've just done such a great job, not only with their rugby, not only with the coaching clinics, but of course encouraging people to talk about depression and hopefully stopping the suicides dead in their track.
100%, mate. It's all important. We've enjoyed it immensely.
Good on you. Thanks, Richard.